Coppell's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Welcome to the Worcester Reports, a program of stories, Christian devotions, and music. Broadcast on CWCP, Coppell's Western Cape Radio.
South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God.
Welcome again to the Worcester Reports, coming at you from Worcester, South Africa. I'm a member of Worcester Christian Church, as is my wife, and there are all sorts of subsidiary divisions of the church, and one of them are early morning prayer groups. I started attending one of them quite near where I live a couple of months ago now, maybe a little bit longer. Time flies. And I would like to introduce you to the host and leader of this group. Carlo van Veek is a member of the congregation of Worcester Christian Church, where I'm proud also to be a member of the congregation. And I've got to know Carlo through meetings that are held very early in the morning. And we're going to get to that. But first, Carlo's just got back from Cape Town in connection with the Tug of War World Championships. Now, I wasn't aware of this event, Carlo. Tell us, how are you involved in it?
Yes, Tony. As you mentioned, it is an international world championship. And our company got involved by getting the contract for doing all the photographs for this event. And yeah, it's a big bonus for our company, and we're very pleased to be involved with that. It's my daughter Marika, she's a very passionate photographer, and myself, and I've hired in some other people to help us, my wife Rihanna, and son Andre, and other guys. We're a big team going to be there for 4 days doing this event.
Well, that's great that you've introduced your whole family, which is very, very important because they may get to hear this broadcast. Yeah. Now, again, before we get to the key reason that I want to talk to you, tell us about going back the last 20, 30 years, your business career, not in great depth, but just a quick run over it.
Okay, yes. I started off in 1983 at SABC. As a television cameraman, I was trained in by them, did various courses, and I was doing OBs, what they call it. It is going out with the outside broadcast units, doing all sorts of events. And then later on, I've worked, then moved on to the government, where I've worked for 13 years. It was where I met Rihanna, and we got married there. In Pretoria, and I was actually in Pretoria for 23 years before we've moved down to Cape Town, where I was born. And my brother and myself bought a farm together, and we started farming next to the Breda River here close to Worcester. So yeah, farming was a big thing in our family, or still is. All my uncles and grandfather, they've all been farming their lives, and me and my brother also wanted to have a farm. So we started farming, and yeah, I was with him for 10 years on the farm, but then I decided to do other things to pursue my career in photography and television camera work again. So I've sold my shares now on the farm, and we are busy with my daughter doing this bright cam photography, what we call it, doing photography and video.
So through and through, you're an entrepreneur, which is something that South Africa needs really badly. And we want to encourage people to become entrepreneurs. And yet, the way I met you was nothing to do with that. I heard that there was an early morning prayer group going on. You live quite close to where I am, and I'm a lazy kind of guy, so close is good. And I came along one morning at 5:45, just in my mind, I was just going to say, what kind of guys would do a thing like this?
No, it's great having you with us. It's lovely.
And tell us first about the within the church, this structure of prayer groups that's going on at that time.
It started a few years ago. Our pastor, Johan Squinrod, he wanted to get something like this going. And first it was only one group, but soon that group, it's grown too big, and it was decided that we have to split up because it's just not practical to have about 20 men at a house in the morning. So that group split, and later on split again. So we are six groups now getting together early in the morning, praying. And just all aspects and subjects we are praying for, but mainly what is going on in our country and our town. And it's just wonderful getting together and feel the presence of the Lord and the Holy Spirit in with us and pray together. And you feel so blessed and just have energy and full with passion again for the week ahead. It's just wonderful to be filled with the Holy Spirit and go pray for each other and the things in our country that is that we feel we have to pray for. And we believe there's really power in prayer. That is one of the main things. Getting together in groups. The more people that pray for a particular situation, really there is power in prayer, and that must never be forgotten.
How stable has the membership been in this particular group that meets at your house?
We were seven men getting here together in the morning, and we've been sometimes five, but seven, that is the figure. And now it looks like we're going to be eight guys here. So, but very, very stable, I must say. I'm so pleased. It's more than 2 years now that we are praying here. And like, as you say, seven, that's the figure.
Well, the thing that I find is that after a few weeks, you become really close friends with one another. And people they don't keep things inside when it can come out and it can be shared.
That's true. Because it is a small group, you, as you say, become friends and you learn to get to know each other very well. And the guys are not afraid to raise personal issues and problems that they might have. So we pray for each other. If one feels down and the other guys, we form a circle around him and we really pray for him, lay hands on him. Sometimes we have communion. All those things we do just to be lifted up. That is our main object.
So it seems to be a pretty self-sufficient group. It's running on. But is there any sort of official reporting that you have to do? Who is in charge at the church of the early morning prayer groups?
Is our pastor, Johan.
He himself.
Himself. He ask us regularly how it's going and the amount of men that's getting together and so on. But it's not really a report back. It's just sort of a casual reporting and talking about it. And he just encourages us to keep on doing that. He himself is involved in a group of men praying. So it's a great thing. There's also some women groups even who've started now in the church, getting together in the morning.
Now that's new, isn't it?
It's about a couple of months, I would say about 8 months or so, 9 months. Some women are starting to get together as well, and it seems like that is growing now, and Johan is encouraging it, really. It is fantastic.
Why do you think it's more effective for men to meet with men and women to meet with women rather than having men and women together?
I think it's because it is very personal, and women feel other way with subjects, in matters that they want to pray about than the men, I think. So I think it's wonderful to have it that way. It's nothing particular, but it's just, I think the people, the men are feeling more comfortable, just men together. And in our church, we have many events, like for men or for women, special. There's a women's day, a women's tea, and the men, they go on to a camp maybe, or just a day out in getting a person to come and speak to us. So that's the way they do it in our congregation.
Now, you're the leader of this group, and you are kind enough to offer your house as the venue. How do you see your role as leader? Do you try and guide us in a particular direction, or do you just leave it to the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, some days you leave it to the Holy Spirit, like with your prayer requests. Everybody, you ask them what request they have for that morning to pray for. Other times I lead, like having communion. I feel if I get a urge to have communion, and I think it's necessary that we do that. Other days, we have sometimes, about twice a year, we have a bit of a social, like a breakfast in the morning and stuff, normally at the end of the year or so on, to close sort of for the year. We normally end that with a lovely, lovely breakfast.
Well, you're my kind of a leader, Carlo. I think that you have exactly the right touch. And I'm sure that goes for the leaders of the other groups.
Yeah, they are wonderful people there. And they love doing it. I mean, we are people. It's wonderful to work with people and to be around with people. That's my personality. I love, that's why I'm involved in the television business as well. It's with people.
Okay, confession time for me. When my alarm goes off at 5:15 on a Friday morning, the first thing that comes into my mind is coffee and rusks.
Yeah, that is the first guy, I think, he started that. But it is a traditional thing with our Afrikaners. We love our coffee and then rusk as well. That goes together, coffee and rusk, yeah. So we cannot start the day without that.
It's one of the reasons we came to South Africa, because we had never had rusks before. They are very South African, and we love them.
Okay, now I'm pleased to hear that. You're welcome.
Now I'm going to ask you this. You could call this a technical question, but it's, you're a man of prayer, and I'm going to ask you a question that I've often wondered about. One can choose two broad paths when you're deciding what to pray for at any one time. It could be for an individual or just two or three individuals, their particular situation. And we often do that in this group.
Yes.
Or we could decide to pray for the victims or the potential victims of a hurricane. And particular time, that's what's happening in the States and the Philippines. How do you feel that those kind of prayers are received in heaven, or whatever thoughts you may have about them? Do you see them as equally relevant?
Yeah, I know for sure. I mean, as I said, prayer is very powerful, and no matter for whom you pray or where they are, especially if more than one person pray together for a situation or somebody, I really believe that it's heard by the Lord, and as I say, it is powerful. So we believe then for healing. We pray for healing many times, and we've had many, many testimonies where people said they were healed or something else. Just it is so wonderful to hear testimonies of people coming back to you and say, like one day, Hilton is a person in our group. His son was sent to the Congo, I think, and he got malaria. And the doctors, they were flown back to South Africa. And when they arrived there, the doctor said, this man should have been dead. In fact, his colleague died, but he survived that malaria attack. And we believe it was just through our prayers, because the morning, one Friday morning, he asked us to pray for his son. And the next Friday, he came with that testimony that his son was alive and the doctors just couldn't believe it. So we believe that was just our prayers.
The Bible tells us that when Jesus felt compassion, then he would pray for someone or he would heal them. The word compassion is very important.
Yeah.
Do you see the evidence of this, the Holy Spirit's compassion during our prayer meetings? I'm sure you do, but tell us about it.
I really believe we have compassion for each other, and like Jesus had compassion for us when he was on earth, he came to earth to be with us and become one of us so that one day we can become like him if we believe in Jesus. And it's really, the compassion is there. We must believe and have hope. And you never must feel like the Lord is going to leave you alone, because he's always there to help you and through whatever situation you might be going through. Yeah, really, we are very, very strong believers, and it is for us very, very important here in South Africa.
Yeah. One thing that I feel is very rich in this group is that the different backgrounds that people have, different races, different countries they've come from.
Yeah.
And there are no barriers at all.
Nothing at all. We are all brothers in Christ.
Yeah.
And color or race doesn't matter at all. We are having two brothers actually here from Zimbabwe, and everybody's welcome in this group. And we are just one big brotherhood getting together, and it's so nice. Everybody, I'm sure, they're looking forward to it every Friday morning. Sometime during winter, it's cold and dark still. But summertime, it's really a breeze. We enjoy the early morning starting off with the coffee and rusks.
If somebody's listening and they think, I wouldn't mind joining that group, are you open to more members?
For sure. We still have room for one or two people, but after that, I think then we really have to start considering splitting up again, because as you know, it is your room in the house or so where we get together is only that big, and it then becomes a problem. But we still have room for more people, yeah, for sure.
All right. It's such a pleasure to get the information from somebody who really knows what they're talking about. Carlo, thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to say that maybe I didn't ask?
Let me think. I just want to really encourage everybody. You can pray on your own, but it's so much better to pray in a group. You feel so more empowered, and you can really feel the Holy Spirit there with you. And if you are in a group, that presence of the others, it makes it so much more pleasant and spiritual, and you are lifted up, really, really. It is wonderful. So I can encourage that. And I really very anxious for the women sort of groups to grow as well. And it's very, very important, I think, getting together.
Well, God bless you, and may it continue for many years.
Thank you very much, Tony. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Recently, we put up a notice on social media saying that if there were African, and particularly South African, artists who hear our show and would like us to play their music, then get in touch. And one of them has. I think actually some others have as well. But this is Danny Danny. He is a Ghanaian, but he came to South Africa in 2015, as it says on his biography, to seek greener pastures. And things started opening up for him. A particular track was called Wonderful Drink, and he recorded another single, Yahweh, which has a jazz version. And we're going to play Yahweh, and we're very happy to welcome Danny Danny to CWCP Radio.
Tony and I are Canadian missionaries in South Africa. We have learned through our African friends in different countries how to slow down and be relational. This is something all of us in fast-paced countries need to learn. So come along with me, and we'll learn together on the adventures of growing in God. Growing in God through thankfulness. What are you thankful for? My name is Lorianne, and I'm a missionary. During my mission travels, I've ministered with people in Northern Ireland, Pakistan, Canada, and the USA. I've also ministered in African countries like Kenya, Ghana, Sierra Leone, Mozambique, South Africa, and Botswana. But at this time, we live in the beautiful Western Cape of South Africa.
During the last broadcast, we discovered that we grow strong in our faith when we allow ourselves to depend on God in our service for Him. When we do this, our attitude changes. God has invested special gifts in us, both natural gifts and supernatural ones. The gifts we are given become an opportunity to serve the Lord and others in a unique way. When we serve, our attention has two aspects. We focus both on God and on the task at hand. Some of you might be thinking that this is dividing your heart, but no, a divided heart is one that tries to divide loyalties, like worshiping more than one God or holding back on your love for Him. When you love God and serve Him with all your heart, your task becomes not a distraction from your worship. The task is part of your worship. Sometimes that task involves stopping for the one. Yet other times your assignment may involve practical service to bring infrastructure for another's ministry. When frontline workers feed the poor, clothe the needy, love broken people, and encourage people through arts, they need backup support. They need people who are gifted in administration, healthcare, engineering, and many more highly trained skills that are essential in ministry. Don't ever think that because you have an infrastructure skill that this isn't useful to God. Everything and everyone is. The last Harvest School Outreach team that came to our base helped in the practical ministry of helping the 4E's label their wine bottles. Wine is one of the major industries here in the Breed River Valley, and many of these wineries are run by Christians. This may make my dream of being a sommelier to seekers come to pass one day. The 4E's reach out to seekers in their winery a lot. They serve and love on the farm workers and their children, while they also minister to customers and international students in their Father's House schools. They are very thankful in all they do, and their eyes are always on Jesus. When we serve, we also need to keep our eyes on the one who loves us and gives us opportunities. It's not like we have to serve out of obligation, but if you are serving out of obligation, then it's better to set aside the service for a while. You may need a time to just receive God's love. He wants our heart far more than He wants our service. If we never do a single thing for God, He will still love us very deeply. However, when we do serve, we have many ways to express our love and gratitude to God. That gratitude causes us to focus on Jesus. It also allows our hearts to be filled deeper and widened to contain more love. How do we develop a thankful attitude? Some people have a hard time being thankful. It's hard to be thankful when you feel especially entitled and self-focused. We've seen this attitude in Avian Park, the give me, poor me, you owe me attitude. We've seen it in some of the urban poor people I've reached out to in East Ottawa. It's like a welfare mentality, where some of the people feel that the government owes them a living. Government owes us governance and infrastructure. Your living is your living, unless you're in a position where you can't work. How do we rid ourselves of cold hearts, entitlement thinking, and ingratitude? A cold heart could be called a heart of stone, a heart where the conscience is seared and where there is no compassion. The very opposite of thankfulness and gratitude is unforgiveness. This often shows its face as bitterness and complaining. Do we really want to go there? Bitterness causes all kinds of complaints and mean-spirited acts. The fruit of this attitude isn't just in the townships, it's everywhere. Hebrews 12 verse 15 warns us to not store up a bitter root that will grow up in our heart and so defile us and many others. When we get bitter and self-focused, we fall into a form of worshiping ourselves. Unfortunately, this is at the very heart of the old baby boomer model of me, myself, and I, and looking out for number one. If you only focus on yourself, you'll find lots to complain about. And so the cycle spirals down into self-pity and what Leanne Payne calls the hell of self. This self-affliction is a horrible prison to be locked into. While the barometer against entitlement is thankfulness, you still need a change of heart. Thankfully, God gives us a promise through the prophet Ezekiel, as shown in chapter 36, verses 26 to 27. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and to be careful to keep my laws. So God has the key to unlock our prison. Lord, please save us from ourselves. The Apostle Paul talks about struggling with difficulties caused by his own sinful human heart in Romans chapter 7. The passage is too long to share, but I suggest you read it. Paul, however, does share the answer at the end of his frustration rant. He says, "Oh, what a miserable person I am! Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death?" Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. God really does save us from ourselves if we let Him. I am thankful that I was drawn out of this kind of thinking that just focuses on what is wrong with us. If I'm not careful, it's easy to forget. I am thankful for God's thankfulness and share the writer's shout in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 21. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let's go deeper to discover more. What is thanksgiving? Thanks isn't just a magic word of politeness that we teach children like please and thank you. A simple definition may be thankfulness is the expression of gratitude, especially to God. This is especially true in the example he offered prayers and thanksgiving for his safe arrival. Or thankfulness can be the appreciation of a benefit or a gift. Thankfulness can be shallow or very deep from the bottom of your heart. Most of us are thankful for something at some time in our life. What am I thankful for? What are you thankful for? When I was living in the Kootenai Mountains of British Columbia's southern interior, I was always thankful for the incredible beauty. Every day that I chose to explore the mountain roads, lakes, and ranges, I also thanked God for all I could see around me. I feel the same way looking at the Cape Fold Mountains of South Africa's Western Cape. In North America, the holiday of Thanksgiving is special. It's not just about the harvest, but it is a time for thankfulness for a lot of things in our lives. Canada's holiday is in early October, and the U.S. follows in November. I love the idea of a day to give God thanks, and since it's always in the northern autumn, it gives us a day to pause, reflect, and enjoy the lovely change of color shown through the autumn leaves. One of the reasons why I remember the Canadian Thanksgiving of 2013 is due to the sermon of my then-pastor, Jim Reimer, gave at Nelson's Kootenai Christian Fellowship. It was the first time I remember such a talk. I especially needed it at what suddenly became a difficult time in my life. So Pastor Jim started us off with things and people to be thankful for. I had just lost my job and had not yet told my parents, who flew in from across the country to enjoy time with me. Since I was still in shock, the full sadness had not hit me yet, but I needed to be thankful for many other things. I was actually grateful that they were with me. At the end of the service, we shared communion together. We were to share one word to reflect on who and what was the reason for our thanks. Jim held his microphone for each person to share, and my word was church family. Jim's list included thankfulness for parents, family, friends, rainbows, sight, oxygen, hearing, touch, smell, taste, speech, a heart to pump, lungs, immune system, hands, legs, mind, health, tears, fears and pain, sadness to appreciate happiness, sun, sunset, rain, snow, rainbows, nature, animals, internet, transport, technology, movies, time, job, music, bed, home, soulmate, best friend, enemies, lessons learned through mistakes, joy, and love. A few years ago, I asked my Facebook friends what they were thankful for. Some were deeply personal about their faith, encouragement from others and family. Others drew connection between gratitude and forgiveness or thankfulness and happiness. I agree with these connections, but one statement stood out from a friend in Sierra Leone named Emma. Emma had lived through war and the Ebola crisis. She was thankful for being alive, the most basic gift. Sadly, Emma died just a couple of months ago from an unrelated illness, and her death was a shock to us. We were pleased, however, to see the outpouring of stories from many people who were touched by her life and her kindness. She was a teacher, principal, and a loving woman of God. Here's a story about how the Thanksgiving holiday began. In the U.S., this holiday is traditionally based on the well-known Plymouth, Massachusetts celebration of a good harvest. The first gathering dates from between 1621 to 1623. However, there was an earlier time of official Thanksgiving at what became the Berkeley Plantation in Charles City, Virginia, 2 years earlier in 1619. American Thanksgiving is celebrated on the fourth Thursday of November. In Canada, Thanksgiving's origins can be traced back even earlier to the explorer Martin Frobisher in 1578. He tried to find the Northwest Passage to the Pacific Ocean and took a break near Frobisher Bay, which is near the present-day town Iqaluit. They held a formal ceremony and communion to thank God for surviving the journey through storms and icebergs. Other historians can also trace Canadian Thanksgiving to the French settlers in New France or early Quebec in the early 17th century. Other immigrants added their own Thanksgiving celebrations, although Ontario's United Empire Loyalists may have brought turkey into the tradition. It's good to use Thanksgiving, Christmas, or New Year's Day as special days to stop and be thankful. Yet what if we chose to be thankful every day? Thankfulness is an attitude, perhaps of gratitude, but also thankfulness causes you to think outside yourself and your circumstances. Paul reminds us in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I was encouraged to give thanks in October 2013 after I was let go by a radio station where I was working as a creative writer and producer. It's no secret that the broadcasting industry is a cutthroat business, but this was still an opportunity for God to work gratitude deep into my life. My pastor comforted me, but also reminded me that perhaps this was God's timing for this to happen on Thanksgiving. He encouraged me to keep thanking God in all the little things and that Jesus would carry me through. He told me that he felt that God was up to some good things. He wondered what door would be open to me. He encouraged me that if God is our provider and source, and that in times like this, all we could do was trust him, he will make a way, and so he has. I then worked as a volunteer for almost 3 years, first at my Nelson Church, then in an Ottawa East Church, where I moved back to Ontario and my husband's home there. I kept busy in admin, reception, and media work. I continued to write, teach, and blog. I did prison ministry. I carried on and continued to be thankful for all the little things that God brings my way. That thankfulness for each little surprise and gift that came my way made a huge difference. It was like Jesus was carrying me, like the person in the footprints poem. What happened was a deep outpouring of love from my church family and my own family, especially my parents and my husband. Authentic Christian living places thankfulness at its center. We can express thankfulness in many ways. We give traditional thanks for the meals that sustain us physically. Jesus gave thanks as he broke bread and fed 5,000 in Matthew 14:19 and Mark 8, verse 6. The Apostle Paul gave thanks for a meal in the midst of a major storm at sea, and God was with them despite their circumstances. You can read about that in Acts 27, verse 35. Rabbis even encourage giving thanks before a meal and afterwards. Thanksgiving is also a component of liturgical prayers. Many times the Israelites gave thanks throughout the Old Testament. Often thanks are found connected with praise and testimony, such as Psalm 9, verse 1. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. Thanksgiving is also one part of the ACTS acronym of praying liturgically. It goes as adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. ACTS reminds us of the prayers that have already been answered before we added to our prayer list. This keeps us mindful that God does not forget what we have asked. Thankfulness is something that is deeply needed in the church. Sometimes when people minister to us, we forget to say thank you. We forget and think, why should I? They know how much I am thankful. But no, that is not the case. Often the only feedback the church workers hear are complaints, not thanks. Thanking someone is special. It's not trivial. The person who is thanked receives deep encouragement, and it shows that what they have done actually meant something to someone else. I was involved in the local Curcio movement and have been deeply blessed by their ministry. Unfortunately, it was frowned on to thank your sponsor and those involved in blessing you. Yet, does it really diminish the sacrifice of those who have given? Those who give the most often just want to see the person happy and or blessed. Your true gratitude is a gift to those who have ministered to you. As for me, my best gift on holidays and birthdays is when I see the gift recipient's face as they open my gift. It's one of the reasons why I don't like to wait. Thankfulness causes our faith to grow. The Apostle Paul encourages us in Colossians 2, verse 7, to continue our walk with God, to be established in our faith and overflowing with gratitude. Perhaps deepening faith and being thankful are like two poles that long-distance walkers use to keep their pace and balance steady. The Christian life is a lot like a long-distance journey. Some of the circumstances we encounter are more difficult than others. This is the time to remember the thankfulness and trust connection. Paul reminds us in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This does not mean to give thanks for all things, such as the difficult times, but to be thankful in some way at all times. Thankfulness is a lifestyle that focuses on the positive. It makes you look for how God can redeem a situation and make things better. Some of you may have read Corrie Ten Boom's book, The Hiding Place. In her book, Corrie shares about her family's time in a World War II concentration camp. They were sent there after they were discovered helping hide Jewish people during the Holocaust. Corrie and her sister Betsy were thrown into a building that had many fleas. While the fleas made life uncomfortable, Betsy was thankful for them. Why was she thankful? Well, the Nazis avoided their bunker due to the fleas. This meant that they could have uninterrupted Bible study and fellowship. So Betsy went even further for being thankful for something unpleasant because she had the big picture in mind. She trusted that everything works together for good for those who love God. Thanksgiving is also a deep part of worship. Psalm 110, verse 4, ties thankfulness and praise. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Think about it. Many psalms and other scriptures are put to worship music. Giving thanks and being thankful is a deep, heartfelt theme in more than one way. Our thanks actually touch God's heart. Remember when Jesus healed the 10 lepers? 10 were healed of leprosy, but only one returned to thank Jesus. When he did so, Jesus healed his heart too. Here's a story in Luke 17, verses 15 to 19. One of the lepers, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." His gratitude connected him to a deep healing and wellness. Writer Andy Cook likens that faith has made you well to faith has saved you, since the Greek word for well used in this passage is the same as salvation. And so salvation is the best thing to be thankful for as we focus on and worship God. Let's move beyond our day-to-day grumbling about the little things. Let's be thankful for what is going right. Let's be thankful for how God keeps us through difficult times, for kindnesses shown through others, for the big and little blessings he brings our way. They are there. I thank you, God, for those who are listening. May he bless you through and through as we both learn more about thankfulness and our faith. Let us examine ourselves, give thanks, and encourage each other. Let us sing as in the song, "Give thanks with a grateful heart," and allow God to enlarge our hearts. Let our hearts be filled with love as we continue to thank God in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Have you given thanks today as an act of worship? Lord, thank you for your faithfulness to us. I ask that you'll give us a spring season of open eyes. Let us see all the little blessings you pour out to us. Turn our situations around as we thank you for every good thing. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed, my friends, and tune in again for Ways to Grow in God on Couples Western Cape Radio.
Grateful heart, give
Give thanks and praise God from whom all blessings flow, performed by the London Trio Plus. And I know these ladies personally. They are an Ottawa-based gospel group, and they have at least three people, and maybe as many as seven, hence the plus sign. If you were listening to last week's program, you will know that the Doxa Arts Festival is coming up on the 13th of October. And that the headliner is Joe Niemand. And he doesn't need an introduction to most people in Christian circles in South Africa. Although to us, coming from Canada, he was new. But he's very good. And I can't wait to see his performance here in the Doxa Festival. So I'm going to play you a few songs from two of his albums. One of them is Night of Light. And the other is The Mighty Men Karoo, where he appears with a number of other artists at that great event. I'm just going to play these to give you a feel for what you can expect on the 13th of October at the Doxa Festival.
Can't do. trying. What words can justify? And I can't talk to you when you take my breath away. But I know you need to hear it. If you only knew how I try. But the words don't always come out right. I let them go when they take flight. Words will
Dames en heren, liefde van mijn leven, Lindy Wiek.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemy. All my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
We've been liberated. to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
We've been supervising a children's ministry in Avian Park, which has been meeting in the library for quite a few months now. It's part of my father's house ministry, which was founded by Jan Buchanan. And Lorianne and I have spent many hours on Monday afternoons there, and sometimes we've had as many as 70 children. Anyway, things are going to be changing to a different format. We've been training up some of the teenagers to lead small groups in Bible studies. And the objective is that we'll find 5 or 6 venues in Avian Park where these little groups of no more than 10 can meet each week. And then the Mailbox Club materials will be far better understood and taken in by the children that they'll be teaching than in an environment where, as I say, there can be 40, 50, even 70 people. It's impossible in that sort of arrangement. The last Monday, we had our final day in the library, and it was windy outside, so we couldn't have a music session outside because that blows my music off my music stand. So we did it inside, and unbeknownst to me, Lorianne turned on her phone audio recorder, and we listened to it afterwards, and I thought this gives an excellent feeling for the atmosphere there with all those kids singing songs that they know quite well and just enjoying. They know very well that they are singing them to God, and he's up there with his angels just listening in. So this will give you a feel for Avian Park ministry, and it goes on for about 25 minutes, and after that this program will have ended. God bless you all. It's been great to be with you, and we look forward to being back in a week's time for the next edition of The Worcester Reports. My name is still Tony.
Copples Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
I want to see
Bye. Jesus that we've decided to follow.